Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips,
strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
This is the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast. I'm Nicola Canton, and today we're talking about how to help parents support their child's practice at home, even when they don't play themselves. Do you ever have parents in your studio who just feel completely lost when it comes to helping their child with practice? They might tell you, oh, so-and-so was confused about his practice this week, but I can't read music, so I couldn't help. Or they might even from the start say, oh yeah, I'm not going to be able to help with practice because I don't have a musical bone in my body. So they'll have to practice by themselves. I've seen this again and again in my studio. But these parents actually can help almost as much, sometimes in a better way, than the musical or musically trained parents can. This is a crucial issue for us to solve in our studios, because if parents aren't involved in practice, chances are the student is not going to practice at all, or is not going to practice well, or a little bit of both. So we need to get to the bottom of this as teachers and really support those parents to help their child practice and to let go of their own limiting beliefs about what it is they're able to do based on their own musical background. Let's take it out of the world of piano for a second. Let's say a parent had a kid who loves to play hockey. I'm talking about field hockey when I say hockey. And the parent can't play hockey. They might think, well, I can't help them with this because I literally can't play. So I can't do rallies back and forth with them. And to some degree, that kind of makes sense. They can support them in going to hockey practices with a coach and with other players, but they can't really play with them at home, or they don't want to learn to play with them at home because they just don't want to learn hockey. Now, piano is different. It's not a team situation. They don't need the parent to be able to play with them, literally, demonstrate the pieces for them, analyze the music for them. Hopefully we're not expecting that of parents. What we want is for them to be the adult in the room. When students don't have that adult in the room, when they don't have a parent guiding them in terms of the structure and the routine of their practice, they generally just don't practice. And if they don't practice, sometimes their parent concludes, oh, they weren't musical either, so I'll let them quit. And I guess music just isn't for us in this family. And oh my gosh, it's hard not to roll your eyes at the situation or get exasperated when you realize that this is the trend that's going on. This happens. You know, you meet adults who say, oh, there's not a musical person in my family. I'm like, really? Because that seems impossible. I think what you mean is there's not a person who's stuck with practicing music. And that tends to be self-perpetuating within a family. So it's not genetic, but it is based on the family you grow up in sometimes, because the parent doesn't support the practice because they don't know how much goes into it unless they've been through it themselves. So it's really important right from the start that we say to parents, listen, it doesn't matter if you read music. Even if you could read music, I wouldn't want you to help your child read music, really. What I want you to do is to support their practice in all of the ways you can, just because you have an adult brain that organizes information differently from a child's brain. So the number one thing they can do, we all know it, it's setting up the routine and enforcing or reinforcing it, finding a way to get their kid to the piano every day or almost every day. That is the best thing a parent can do. It's the most impactful thing they can do. Now, once they get there, even if they can't play music, they can still continue helping, can't they? What can they do? They can open up the practice notes. So in my studio, they would open up the Vivid Practice app on their phone or on their child's tablet or whatever device they're using for it. In your studio, it might be an app like Vivid Practice or it might be a notebook. The parent is going to open that up and read the notes and follow the list, because a child is much less capable of doing that. And the parent doesn't need to understand what it means to, whatever, improve the dynamics in a piece. They can read that to their child and see if their child understands that. And even if they don't, they're still helping them follow the structure of, we at least need to do all of these things. I mean, the parent can clearly see when their child is doing only one of the five things on a list. They don't need to read music to see that. So we teach them how to build that routine. And this starts from the first meeting I have with new parents. I talk them through it. It's then followed up with other emails I send them automatically. I have an automatic email sequence that goes out. You can set up your own if you'd like at the resources inside Vibrant Music Teaching, vibrantmusicteaching.com. And there's a course there called Essential Email Templates, where you can literally steal my formula for this. You can also give them a book or other resources. I have a free YouTube series here on YouTube called Practice Pi. So if you search for Practice Pi, you'll come up with the playlist for me talking through all different tips for parents about practice. You can send that to them. And you can also give them or encourage them to buy a copy of my book, which is Practice Pi, or any other resource you find beneficial. I wrote Practice Pi because, honestly, I didn't find a single other guide out there like it. It's short and to the point, and hopefully a little bit fun for parents to read. And that's part of the hurdle, right? We don't want to give them a giant manual on how to practice, how to help their child practice. It needs to be succinct. It's also available on audiobook at Audible, so they can listen to it in the car or whatever they want to do. So we do everything we can to educate them on how to set up that routine, how to get it going, that their child is practicing reliably most days of the week. 5 days is what we're aiming for, right? 6 days would be great, sure, why not? But 5, 4, I'll take it. And if we can get parents to get their child to practice regularly, we need to acknowledge to them, tell them, reinforce with them that they've done an amazing thing, that they are contributing to their child's success with music by setting up that routine and by helping them stick to it and keeping them in it even when things get a little bit tough or they go through seasons where it's tricky to fit that in. If they do all of that, they are helping their child stick with music lessons. And if they help their child stick with music lessons, they are helping their child to develop a brain that has greater capacity for learning for the rest of their life. If they can stick with this for a minimum of 3 years, is what the research shows, then they're helping to create the most amazing brain system for their child. So yes, music for the sake of music, but also if we need to sell it further, don't hesitate to go down that track as well. And again, praise the parent for that. Let them know that you see that they're working hard on this routine thing, if they are. And let them know that you're there to support if they're struggling with it. We're not there to be the practice police. We're there to support them and to acknowledge when they're doing it well. Please make sure you're doing that. We focus so much on praising our students, right? You know, they finish a piece, they play something beautifully, they shape a phrase in a gorgeous way, and we give them a big high five and tell them they're amazing. I hope we do anyway. And we don't want to necessarily high-five parents, although if that's your style, go for it. That wouldn't really come off as genuine from me. But we do want to send them a quick note and say, hey, I noticed Susie has been practicing a lot steadier recently, and I bet it has something to do with you. So I just want to say, amazing, and keep it up. Right? We need to communicate with them. We need to let them know when they're doing well. This is part of our job. Okay, how can we go beyond the routine though? I talk about the routine a lot because it really is the foundation of everything, and a lot of kids don't get there. And if we don't get to a steady routine, we can't build off that. However, there's a lot more parents can do beyond that. First of all, they can praise their child. Even teenagers. And this is just little things through the music room door, or like in the living room when they're passing through, or whatever the case may be in their house. It's just saying, oh, hey, that's sounding so much better than it was last week. I can see the work that you're putting in. Or, I love that piece. It can be as simple as that. I love that piece. That's one of my favorites. I can't tell you the number of students who have told me, oh, this piece is, like, they'll be about to play a piece and they'll say, oh, this piece is my mom's favorite, or this piece is my dad's favorite. It means the world to them. And yes, I'll say it again, even teenagers do this. At the time when their mom says it, they might go, yeah, whatever, mom, you know, or just give a grunt, but it's going in. So if we can encourage parents to give out that praise, and especially if they can, to praise effort, to, when they see their child is putting effort into this whole piano thing that is so tough, honestly, they can be such a boost to their confidence and their ability to come back again and practice again the next day. You can also suggest some extra tools for parents if that's going to be helpful. Maybe get them involved with different apps for like note names or intervals. We have one for intervals called Vibrant Music Intervals. We created it because I couldn't find another one for intervals, so that exists. But it can be that, it can be note names, it can be music theory apps. You could try and get them involved in different ways. And this can be especially good for parents who are really struggling to find the time to get their student's bum on that piano bench at home because they're just not at home. Either the parent or the student or both. So, stepping in with, well, you know, they do need practical practice, that's great. But also, these things can boost their theory knowledge, and that's going to help us ultimately too. So maybe if they're allowed to play some educational apps on an iPad, maybe this is included in that list. And we could get going with that. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty of what we started with. These parents can't read music, and that is an insecurity for them when they're helping their child to practice. They can already do all of those foundational things, and that will go so far to helping their child practice, so they don't need to even approach the written music. But I will just say that I try to nudge parents that actually it's not as scary as it looks. You are perfectly capable of figuring out the logic on this page. I promise you that. I promise you, you can do it. You can be the one to say, what's that number about? Oh, it's for your finger number. Right, I guess we should get that finger ready. And what note does it start on? You know, you can still ask those questions even if you can't read it yourself. It's a very logical system. It's not as scary as it looks. I used to be in a choir for a little while, and there were always people around me in the choir, some of them whom could read music and many of whom could not. And they would just say, oh, I can't read it at all. So, you know, what's going on? And I would help them, of course. But sometimes you want to say to them, you can still follow the shapes. Like, especially when you're singing a melodic line. It's going up, it's going up, it's going down, it's going down. You can do this. Not that they have to, but they can. And I do think we can help to debunk some of the mystery around the basics of what sheet music is and how they can help them a little bit. They don't have to read it. They don't have to even approach the page and say, well, what is this or what does that mean? Although they can, and they can get their child to teach them, because that's a wonderful way to solidify their child's learning. But they can also just be the one to say, oh, you can't remember how to do that? Let's have a look on YouTube. Let's have a look on Google and see if we can find an answer to it. Or why don't we message your teacher and see if they can help? Those are adult things that an adult can do that a child won't always think of. They will just give up or get disheartened because they don't remember that thing. You don't have to remember everything. You know, you can look these things up. You can ask a question. And a parent can go a long way to helping with that process. This is one of those crucial issues that can make a massive difference to your student's progress, your individual student's progress, as well as your studio as a whole being more inclusive of different types of families. So make sure to set these expectations early. Put the information out there, educate parents as best as you can so that their insecurities about reading music don't get in the way of their child's success. And remember, if you're looking for an easy guide to hand to parents, you can grab my book, which is called Practice Pie. A lot of teachers keep a few copies in their studio and they just loan them out to new parents in their studio and ask them to return it when they're done reading. Vibrant Music Teaching members get 5 new games or resources at least every single month that keep them inspired and wanting to become a better teacher each and every day. If you want to join the best community of teachers online, you can go to vmt.ninja and sign up today.